Episode 210.
We actually, all of our techs that we send to Vision, they have to come back and give us a 2-hour presentation on what they learned and teach the whole shop of it. So it's one of the things. And the other thing, too, is, you know, most mechanics, most people in this business, they don't want to be talking in front of anybody anyway. That's why they're mechanics. They just want to work on cars. So it really stretches the personal development, too, of all the technicians, too, when they have to get in front of people and start talking, you know, too.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Welcome, aftermarketers. You're listening to the Remarkable Results Radio podcast with Carm Capriotto. This is the place where ideas, insights, and trends are served up for you twice a week. Now prepare for a very powerful roundtable discussion recorded at Vision 2017 in Kansas City. And I had Jason Bonnard, Jeremy Winters, and Jeremy O'Neill in the studio here in episode 210. Now, the episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards Loyalty Program at their all-new website. Go to fmmotorparts.com. For additional bio information on our panel, see the show notes page, remarkableresults.biz/E210. Hey, so happy with your support of the Town Hall Live Forum. Now, we do it every Friday at 12 noon Eastern. Go to remarkableresults.biz/live and register once to be in the audience each Friday. Now, we have a tremendous audience on Facebook Live. Yes, we do it live on Friday, 12 noon Eastern. And since we started in January 2017, the valuable content from my forum guests has gone beyond my expectations. The forums are like a documentary, but they provide knowledge to you like a seminar. Now, to get your hands on every Town Hall forum, go to the remarkableresults.biz/learning page. Now, I truly promise you will learn a lot from your industry peers. Hey, happy to welcome new Facebook friends Craig Johnson, Stephen Fissett, Bob Joint, and Stuart Terry. And new LinkedIn connections, Cash Khan, Derek Kaufman, and Jared Monroe. Glad to have you engaged with the podcast. And don't forget to download my free app, yes, free, from the App Store on iOS and Android. Search for Remarkable Results Radio and get every episode right at your fingertips. And enjoy at your convenience. Now, here's another roundtable interview recorded at Vision 2017. My guests continue to amaze me. Their willingness to contribute, share, and pay it forward for the betterment of our industry. It's been incredible. Now, my three guests nailed this one. With me is Jason Bonnard, president of Show Me Auto Mall in Harrisonville, Missouri, Jeremy Winters, service manager of Weaver's Auto Center in Shawnee, Kansas, and Jeremy O'Neill, president of Advisor Fix. We decided to discuss a few subjects, but what came out of the interview was some amazing discussion on value alignment, the power of systems and processes, documenting your SOP manual in video form. Yeah, you got to hear this. The power of a strong business culture, human behavior assessments, and how tough it is to hold an employee accountable if you haven't given the proper training or have great processes. You're in for some serious note-taking because of the innovative ideas shared. Now, here we go with Jason Bonnard, Jeremy Winters, and Jeremy O'Neill. Thanks for bringing the beer.
Oh, it's ice cold.
First time, baby. I love it. A little pouch with some ice in it. I think we're going to have a hoot here. Stick around. You know, we usually talk about the positive things and how to fix things, but, you know, that may not be working, but we've never really hammered employee performance.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things that I think every shop struggles with. And as I look at Advisor Fix and what we do, I'm definitely committed to getting results for the clients and delivering a return on investment. And there's so many times throughout the month that shops struggle with sales or they just don't hit the mark. And when you look at employee performance, I think it's one of the hardest things for shop owners or managers to deal with. And if you have an employee who is going sideways on you or the performance dips, you know, what do you do to fix it? It's easy to ignore it, right? And, you know, cross your fingers and hope that it magically gets better. But that doesn't really work. So, you know, one of the questions I thought about bringing to our industry here was, you know, is it your training process that's creating the problem, or is it more of a personal issue? And if you have an employee who has a personal issue, as part of your family, your working family, how do you get in and help resolve that? And what steps are we taking? So just want to shed some light on this and open the discussion on
it. You just brought up one of the biggest subjects ever covered and all that we always cover, and we're probably not doing enough seminars on, is processes. And you're really saying training is a process inside the business. Jason, president of the company, tell me all about your training process.
I do believe that training is a big part of your employees and your success to your business. And that's one thing that we could always use room for improvement. And we actually contacted Jeremy here last year at Vision to sharpen our skills on that and make us a little bit better there. But training's everything. It's hard to hold an employee accountable if you haven't given them the proper training. I believe that it's my job as the owner to provide the right tools for all my employees. I mean, so, you know, for my technicians, that can be, you know, providing the computer programs, the software, the proper tools, you know, the lifts, all that. But also, in addition to that, part of the tools is just the training that's involved. And that's from the technicians to the advisors to my salespeople to everybody. So
how many hours a year are you asking your people to give you for technology, diagnostics?
I'm open to any and all training. One thing that is a struggle for us as an independent car dealership, you know, the franchise dealerships have training all the time, you know, Chrysler training, they have, you know, Mopar training, they have Ford training, all that. But as an independent, we're kind of the stepchilds of the industry. And so for us, trying to find good training is difficult. And that's one thing that has been great about Vision is it actually opened the doors to a lot of training. And that is where I met Jeremy, and he's been great. He's came on site with us several times to help us in that aspect. So I don't put a set number of hours on it, but I try to look at every opportunity that's out there, anything that I can find, trying to sign up for those.
And you're a client of Jeremy's.
I am. That's correct.
And how is it going? I don't necessarily want to rate you at all, Jeremy.
Oh, watch out. Here comes the truth, everybody.
Oh, you're in the hot seat. Yeah.
No, I was just curious when you think of diagnostic training, the service writer, service advisor, I'm not sure what the title is that you have. What benefits, I guess, have fallen to your bottom line because of the training?
There's a lot of benefits. And, you know, part of the reason that I selected Jeremy is I went to a couple of his classes personally myself, sat through them, and I feel like my ideas aligned with his. You know, we were kind of on the same track.
Well, that's important.
So absolutely. But there, you know, there's some trainers that I sit there through their class. I'm not saying it's a bad class, but there's, you know, there's sometimes some things that they're preaching that they do in Southern California, and that what works in Southern California doesn't always work in the Midwest. I mean, we're two completely different clients, and you know, I mean, I can't charge the same prices that they charge out there. So anyway, I felt that mine and Jeremy's values align the closest. I will say maybe one of my weaker points is doing proper training. Sometimes maybe I have the knowledge and I have the skills, but maybe I don't always get across to them the proper training. So that's where I kind of look to Jeremy for help. And the other part of that is sometimes it's one of those deals, you can say the same exact thing, but when I'm your boss and I'm the owner, it's hard for employees, I think, to challenge me a lot because, you know, I try to have a good relationship with all my employees. You know, I don't want anybody to feel intimidated to talk to me at all. But, you know, sometimes when I tell them, hey, this is the way it is, this is the industry, hey, our parts prices aren't too high, our labor prices aren't too high, you know, I think they respect that. They say, yes, sir, you know, whatever. But I also know when they turn around, they roll their eyes and they're like, oh, he's crazy. You know, and then when you have somebody like Jeremy that comes in that literally goes into shops all over the country and comes in and reaffirms what I say, and that's without us having any conversations, you know, just he comes in and starts talking and everything, and all of a sudden these employees, I mean, all my employees, I can't tell you how many, they're like, man, you know, he said the same thing you did. You're right. I thought we were crazy, but actually, that made me feel a lot better.
You just brought up an interesting concept. Jeremy travels all over the country. This isn't a commercial for you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
What a great point to have a trainer or a business coach on your team, because you get a real cross-section of so many different people at different levels of success. Great, great, great thought and concept. And I guess my question to you, Jeremy, is how many service professionals, service writers value that scope of knowledge?
Well, it's tough to give an answer to, but I just, before we go there, I will say with Jason, and one of the things that I admire about him is when you're on site, you can tell the engagement of the owner or the president or whatever your title is. And what's very interesting is, you know, we were at the shop on Tuesday, and so we're walking past this Honda Odyssey, and he goes, oh yeah, that's so-and-so's $6,000 ticket. I'm like, that's cool. I said, what about the battery cables on that thing? You know, they're sitting there staring at us at neon, right? It's like headlight, high beams going, shh, there's so much corrosion on them, right? And this is what I love about Jason. When you talk about, and you know, one of the topics was, how do you know if you have good training systems in place? He's better at training than what he just said he is. He's really good because he's on the floor. He's engaged with his client, with his team every single day. And it is a team. It's like a big family there. You know, they all have each other's back. If somebody needs help, they all jump in. But right away, we talk about it. And he goes, wow, you know, this is a great point. Now, we're talking small things here, right? 0.2 hours for a battery service. But he automatically shut the shop down, brought everybody together and said, hey, look, we just caught this. It's not on the paperwork. It's not on the inspection. Why are we letting this fall through the cracks?
Well, my next question is, what about that inspection process that you have in play?
Communication, communication, communication. And I, you know, I think that's our biggest struggle in our shop.
But isn't it for most?
Well, it is, but I think they have a unique advantage because they're processing a lot of used vehicle inspections that come in from the cars that they sell that they're reconditioning. So their technicians are trained. They've got more experience than the average automotive, general automotive repair tech as far as doing a bumper-to-bumper inspection on the vehicle. They know what needs to be looked at, what to discover, and they do great inspections.
So the real world is what you're saying is, well, stuff happens.
It does. The other thing, that, and also that Jeremy made the point of, because that was one of my top techs that was working on that car. Now, a couple things about that. We were doing a complete motor swap on it. The car was not done. Parts were ordered, but it wasn't done. Now, the battery was corroded. It did work, but the battery corrosion wasn't written up on the ticket. Now, the other part of that is I would bet a very large amount of money that tech would have cleaned it up before he sent it out. But, you know, what Jeremy said is, hey, you clean that up and don't say anything. You don't mention it to the rider. The rider doesn't mention it to the customer. What credit do you get for that? And not that I need a pat on the back, but the thing is we go above and beyond for our customers all the time, and especially that particular tech. I mean, he's a great guy. He'd do anything for anybody. The guy does so much extra, you know, and just like that. He would have cleaned all that up, not said for anything. Guy doesn't ask for hours, anything, you know, and it's one of those, that's just where I told him. I said, man, I'm not picking on you, but mention that to the advisor for one, so maybe I can get you a few extra ticks for it. And number two, I said, even if we don't charge the customer, I mean, the customer's spending $6,000 for me. I can clean up the battery and not charge them. I'm not worried about that. But let the customer know, because they don't know that we went above and beyond for them. And that's just building a relationship with that customer. And you know, that's one of those things that again, brings the customer coming back to us and says, man, those guys are great. I trust them 100%. They took care of me. You know, sometimes it's the little things that take you the furthest.
Absolutely. It's also, not to cut in here, but I will, because, you know, the beer's really good tonight. Jeremy Winters here at Weaver, same thing. So, Jason, on that car, we looked at, you know, one little thing, and we're talking about, we're in this shift with this industry, right? And we talk about providing great customer service. What's the customer experience like? And it's the minor details that really matter. So that same vehicle had a whole bunch of leaves on the cowling. Okay, clean that up. Now, when you deliver the vehicle back to the customer, make sure you show them those value-added services that you did. We talked about this, I think, 6 months ago in your shop, Jeremy, where we looked at a 2013 Ford Edge that came in that we're doing an oil change on. And you know what? If you go into Ford's owner's manual, that vehicle needs a 6-month inspection service that the dealership charges somewhere between 0.6 to 1.2 hours just to inspect and service the vehicle properly. Properly servicing the vehicle is taking care of those minor details where you do clean out the cowling, you take the leaves out, you lubricate all the door hinges, you lubricate the hood, you lubricate the locks, you make sure that car is pampered so your vehicle gets the peace of mind and the comfort of knowing they're driving a worry-free vehicle. That's what customers want today. They don't care about oil changes.
You brought up such a phenomenal statement there when you said, make sure the customer knows what you did. And so many of the things that you would do, clean the leaves, and what's the battery posts, if you don't tell them, you felt right to do it, you knew you had to do it, it's a big bill, it's the right thing to do for your customer, but you got to tell them. Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. I want to get to Jeremy Winters, the service manager of Weaver's Auto Center. Are you doing anything to document training? I do ask a lot of questions of service professionals on the podcast, and I ask them, how does he know the training their techs are getting is fulfilling their strategic goal, of drivability training that they should be getting?
And that's a good point. The biggest thing I always see is that you always have to follow up with a tech afterwards. So many of these shows, so many of these classes we go to, I come back, you got the greatest ideas and everything. Normally about 2 weeks after it falls off.
That's what it is. It's 2 weeks. Yeah.
So one of the things we like to do is more about the accountability and checking with the behaviors and everything like that. So when a tech comes back and talks about an EVAP class or whatever he just went through, we're reinforcing that weekly with him, bringing it. We actually, all of our techs that we send to Vision, they have to come back and give us a 2-hour presentation on what they learned and teach the whole shop of it.
So I love it.
It's one of the things.
Fabulous.
And, awesome.
And the other thing, too, is, most mechanics, most people in this business, they don't want to be talking in front of anybody anyway. That's why they're mechanics. They just want to work on cars. So it really stretches the personal development, too, of all the technicians, too, when they have to get in front of people and start talking.
And I've always heard that when you teach, you learn, huh? It really helps solidify your investment here. How many are here at Vision?
Our two diagnostic techs have taken Thursday, Friday off, and they'll be here for Saturday and Sunday. And then we have two of our other techs going to be here for Saturday and Sunday.
Will you be sure they all go to different classes?
They do. So many of them want to go to the Duramax class. Well, we only have one diesel tech, so the other ones need to worry about alignments and EVAPs and starting and charging. So we strategically place out, what they need to take.
Is there a manual, a workbook, an online document that has every tech and all the training that?
So yes, we do keep track of all of that. All the NAPA classes they're taking, any kind of aftermarket training they do, we have a big binder of it, so we can go back and
You have a binder on the classes. You have a binder by tech.
By tech on them.
Now here's what we're doing. You ready to blow your mind here?
Yeah.
So last time I was at his shop, we shot some training videos. Now, here's when I talk about training systems, here's what I want every shop owner manager to think about. Don't put your training manual in a 3-ring binder that's printed. Why? It's going to collect dust and never get read. Your training manual needs to be a living, breathing video archive of your processes. So I have on our iPad, last time I was at Jeremy's shop, we went out and we talked about the inspection process. So here's him in his shop talking about how do you do an inspection properly.
That is for his people?
For his team.
So basically the process
that it would be a normally written down process is now a video process.
And that's one of the things we're trying to really change as far as our check-in process for any of our ladies up front. Anybody that can come in now, instead of them reading a book, because we could all sit here and read a book and have four different ideas of how it is. But when you see it visually and you see the emotion, you can stop and narrate it. It really makes a difference on it.
And we do it once and we have it forever. And it takes less time to shoot a four-minute video than it does to write a 300-page manual.
I love it. I think it's exciting. It's cutting edge.
I'm fired up, man. I'm going to have another beer. This is amazing.
I'm going to steal that idea. I love it. That's great.
We
That's
are awesome. Going to make a small little tweak in our process. So you open up the written manual. You go to subsection B of 1.3.4, and you put that small little change in, try to tell the world. Do you have to write a new video? Do you have to produce a new video?
So what's been really fun with this, literally the iPad, we sat there with a selfie stick and shot every one of our videos. I mean, it takes absolutely no time. I was so surprised of how it turned out, and I'm no actor by any means. But
I mean, this
it was,
could be the Malcolm Baldridge winner of the year, couldn't it? What a great idea.
That's what we're striving for here.
Yeah. I mean, it's digital. It's there. It's from a peer. I mean, it's not all you doing it, am I right?
We've had all kinds of people doing that. It's one of the things we're trying to work on now because we've had the written SOPs and all of that. And so we're really trying to build a digital library.
Well, and think about this. So now his technicians come back and do their 2-hour class on the course they took at Vision. If he captures that on video, he's building his own internal learning management system for his company that they're doing the work already. Why not capture it on video?
Is this all about the customer?
It is. That's the biggest thing about me. I literally, when I came in being a mechanic when I started this business, I want to leave it better than what I came at. I want to go to the grocery store and I don't want to be embarrassed because I've worked on somebody's car. And so it really is about the customers. The better my tech can be, the less they can charge because the more efficient they are.
Every process,
every system
is all about the end result. Tell me what happens in your place. Do you walk out to the car with a customer? Do you go over every detail? Do you look at a smudge and realize, you know, as the service writer is doing the final ticket, oh my God, let's fix that first, because if not, that's a black mark on our soul down the road?
It is. You know, that's one of the big things. Every car, we've actually changed another process, so we're shooting another video next week on it. But we pull every car in. Our technician walks out, or our service advisor walks out there. They all have iPads. We're all digital. They're taking the four corner shots. They're looking at all of that. And one of the things to talk about that Jason was talking about also is we've changed on our digital inspection. We actually put the line on there for the Weaver's Wow. So now we can take pictures of what we did for them to show the customers, because for so long we go above and beyond, and almost any honest mechanic shop's going to go above and beyond to make sure their customers are good, but we never let anybody know. And it's not because we're trying to pat ourselves on the back or anything, but it's truly to let the customer know that's what we did.
Do you give tours in your shop?
We do. We do tours in our shop.
And tell me about the customer reaction.
I clean my shoes before I go into their shop.
So we're a completely different setup model than most places. So our service advisors, and we also a collision department, they have 45 minutes to spend with the customer. That's all I want them to do. So you have 45 minutes in that oil change. I don't care if you set up and play chess with them. I don't care if you walk around and take an interview, or I mean show them around the shop. I don't care what you talk about. You could go out front and play kickball. I want you to be able to interact with the customer.
And so is that investment worthy of a good ARO?
Oh, wait a second. ARO is not the point here. Now, this is what I love. This is why I wanted Jeremy to come in here. And Tony Adams, the president of the company, is literally a visionary in this industry. And what he told me was this, that we are focused on dollars. We need to grow sales, but I would much rather do X number of dollars the right way than double that number the wrong way.
So it's not a KPI he measures.
Well, I mean, we do look at the ARO. We look at all the KPIs. We're looking at hours per RO. I mean, we got all the dashboards and stuff, but the client comes first. The client experience comes first.
Purpose before profit.
Yes.
What do you do to celebrate the success?
So that's something I have to work on a lot for me, and it's instant gratification and measurable. That's something that I have to work on with the tech. So if a tech did a really good job on an inspection, right then and there, I have to go let the tech know, and it has to be specific. Like, I appreciate you taking pictures of that tire wet or wear, things like that. Whenever somebody's doing a good job, it needs to be instant, and it needs to be specific what you can do for them.
So you're all-knowing, all-seeing, hovering Oz. I mean, you can't see all this stuff?
Well, the great thing we have in our – we have morning meetings, and we spend 30 minutes to talk about culture in our shops, and we do goose honking, and we have the Eager Weaver Award, where literally anybody in the shop writes on a Post-it note what somebody did good in the shop, and they get a $25 gift card to Quick Trip, and then – the goose honking we talk about from the books and everything. It's amazing, you know, when they talk about it. But like, so one person brings up like, thank you, Jeremy, for helping me out with that ticket. Next thing you know, the wash guy's talking about, hey, thanks for keeping your fingerprints off that window. It just, it goes around, and it's just an amazing culture we have.
And I think the concept here is it's too many shop owners and coaches and companies that train in this industry. They're too focused on the outcome, the results. You're never going to get better results focusing on ARO. You're only going to get better results by focusing on the behaviors that give you the product that you want. And that's what they're all about. That's what both of these guys are all about.
So culture, big disruptor if you hire the wrong person, right?
We run disc assessments on everybody before they even come in here. Even if it's a wash bay guy, they're getting a disc assessment before they even come in. Because
how much do you rely on disc as a fitment?
A third.
Okay. What's the other third?
References. And then your interview, your gut feeling, you know, just because you have a bad disc score doesn't mean I'm not going to hire you, but it comes into, you know, if you have two strikes against you, you're out. But if you got two, but I really believe the disc and, you know, and be able to work with the team.
You know, it's interesting because when I first started with Jason, he had a different shop foreman and we ran the disc and we used it as more, it's a self-development tool is really what we use it for at Advisor Fix. But what's interesting, 2 weeks after we started the program, after we did the on-site and really started to change things, shop foreman quit. Shop manager quit. Service manager quit. And now a new service advisor who was on the front line emerged and is just an absolute rock star of a service manager, just is crushing it for Jason.
That was an interesting meeting, and it was kind of funny. The way that my previous manager got there, one of those deals where maybe I wasn't sure if it was the right move, but it's where we were at the time. The guys loved him, whatever, and he's a great guy, he is. But anyway, we were going through, Jeremy did these disc assessments and kind of explaining everything, and it was funny because we were going through them and, you know, the different categories. And, yeah, this is normally where your managers fall. And then, you know,
here's where your manager is.
And it's kind of, you know, just pointed at everybody, looked and was like, okay. And then it was. And then, you know, my particular, he was a service advisor at the time, had a better score for the management position. And, you know, it's kind of something that didn't really act on, but it kind of made a mental note, and that was it. And then, as Jeremy said, you know, I don't remember the exact time frame, but whether it's 2 weeks, 30 days, whatever, it wasn't long.
It was fast.
It was pretty quick. And next thing you know, and that manager stepped down, I promoted one of my advisors to service manager, and he's done a great job.
Let me ask you a question about the disc. Do you use it to help people understand how to communicate with each other better?
I think that's the whole reason behind it. Maybe I'm not the best reference for this because we hadn't used it in my shop prior to Jeremy. I will say,
but that's good that you are. I mean, are you seeing benefit from it?
Yeah, I mean, I used it or I was taught it at a previous job when I worked at a previous car dealership back in 2006 or 2007. Now, it wasn't called Disc at that time. It was probably a different brand, but it was the same exact thing.
I understand.
It was. At that point in time, I was kind of like, I don't get this, but it taught me everything about it. And, you know, it was good because I think for the most part, I can walk up and evaluate somebody pretty quick. You know, we had different, I mean, the colors were different. It wasn't the DISC, but you know, the one I was taught was colors, you know, it was red, blue, green, yellow. And I knew what those colors meant and what it was. And I could walk up and talk to somebody and within 2-3 minutes be like, oh, he's, you know, and sometimes 10 seconds, you know, so, oh, you're red, you're blue, you're yellow and kind of know how that is. But, it's good because I think that's part of my sales background that helps me understand that about customers. And I think that's probably why I've been successful at sales, but not all employees are like that. Again, not trying to pat myself on the back, but it's good for other people, to kind of know how I need to approach you and how I need to talk to an employee and how I need to, you know, so it is, it's a good program.
When you take on a new client and you introduce them to DISC, do they really question the value of it? Or are they excited to add this new dimension of understanding people?
You know, we use it as a long-term self-development plan for the employee. And going back to a service manager, the one thing, and understand, DISC is all about human behavior. And your natural tendencies of human behavior, you are not going to change those. It's like turning the Titanic, right? It's very hard to change your natural behaviors because it's who you are. So his previous service manager, the one thing that ticked me off was his DISC showed us that he was very avoidance of confrontation. Now, if you're a service manager in a very high volume dealership, do you have to deal with confrontation every day? So guess what happened? Every time confrontation came up, the dude freaked out and it just wasn't a good fit for him. And I don't care how much training you give that person. I wrote a blog post a long time ago, 3-4 years ago, Square Pegs and Round Holes. And it's all about that. Think about this. Why do we try to fit people into a position that's not good for them? You know, in Weaver's Auto Center, they do a great job using these tools to make sure they've got the right people in the right place. And honestly, it's so hard to change people's natural behaviors that if you have the wrong person in the right, you have the right person, but they're in the wrong position on your company. That's the right way to say that. They might be a good person. They may be a fit for your team. But find the right position for them within your company and watch how they excel.
More and more discussion on the podcasts about culture. I'm a really big believer in culture. I've asked a lot of questions recently to shops that talk about their great culture. I come to work for your place, Jeremy. Besides doing my DISC test and an interview, am I going to be up against other people in the company to see if I'm a fit?
Well, wait a second. We have a test. For you to, before we hire you, we take you to the Family Fun Center. We play a round of whirly ball, and if you are good, you're in, and if not, you're out.
All right, okay. Is that simple?
Whirly ball. That's a fun sport, man.
It is an awfully tough thing for me. Is that that hand and eye thing I have a problem with? Huh?
Well, I got to say, that was the funnest lunch I've ever had at a client shop. That was amazing, right? So a high five to Jeremy over here. That was really good.
Hire slow, fire fast.
Normally, a lot of people that don't like the culture part of it, especially how we have, they just quit pretty early. I mean, two of our people, the very first day they started in our morning meeting that we had, we actually do 4 steps to a direct conversation, and we get up and role play it because so many people don't even know how to have a direct conversation. We read every morning the 5 dysfunctions of a team, and we go through absence of trust and all that. So it normally weeds itself out pretty quick. If you're not part of it, you're that one person out of the whole group of 30 out of our team.
Do you have a team of 30? Do you have a book club?
The whole group is the book club. We actually have a TV in the morning, and this morning was my turn to try to read, and it was a struggle, but we actually read a chapter every day of whenever we come in there. And I mean, everybody from our wash bay guy to text or whatever, they go around, and we're reading a new book right now. I mean, we've read lots of books, but and then we have discussion after it. Like I said, it's not your typical automotive shop. I mean, I think that's why I'm so attracted to it.
How many people are weeded out in the first month because of all of this really unique but very important part of your culture?
You know, it's really surprising. I've been there 2 years, and out of everybody, there's only been one that didn't like it. It's amazing how many people, they don't say they like it until they get in there, until they feel like they're part of something and they're really starting growing, and then they absolutely love it. Some of the people that I thought would never talk about it, they were the first ones to read.
So they feel the energy.
Okay.
Have you ever had the team come up to you and say, we made a bad hire, we got to move on?
Yeah. My last guy I hired, and they still don't let me forget it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That makes you humble, huh?
Yeah.
Makes
no,
you work
definitely,
harder.
Definitely.
Makes you work harder. If I walk up to your place as a customer, do I see something unique and different about your company just superficially, just by looking at the place?
We don't have anything in our lobby that has anything to do with cars. There's nothing. It doesn't smell like it. There's plants.
You mean there's no shock display?
Sorry.
Wait a minute. There's no belt display?
Spit out my beer.
No. That, you know, we actually hire a lady to come in and bring fresh flowers and stuff. And it's
what kind of magazines?
All women's for the most part.
No cigar dailies?
That's after 5:30.
Well, and the interesting, they have a library of success books right there that customers can take a book if they want it. It's absolutely amazing. And yeah, I mean, the place is immaculate. It literally looks like an oasis at the end of the road there. And they've got this huge American flag flying above the building.
Well, I love rich, deep, dark roast coffee. Can I have one of those?
You can. And it's so funny because so many books we read talk about the coffee. And it's – I mean, I have a gentleman that he literally – I think he just makes up that he wants me to check the air in his tire so he can come in for the hot cocoa. Like, he just always comes in, and that's what we tell so many people. We have some of them that come in that literally want to get away from their husbands, and they come in, and they bring their crocheting stuff, and they sit there and crochet, you know? I mean, it's just – it's amazing of the group of people that come by just to hang out, and that's always what it's been about.
You're the pickle barrel of the community. I mean, the place where people want to go and hang out.
You know, and that's important. When you look at the shift that's coming, that's here – that we're going to see a huge shift in this industry in the next 5 years. Those are the type of businesses that people will give loyalty to, that regardless of the power plant that's in their vehicle, their client base will look to Weavers to help them solve their transportation issue, and they'll have an ironclad client base that will be loyal. Now, we talk about loyalty is dead with millennials and all this, but no, you can create loyalty, but it's doing the things that are different. Absolutely.
Jason, used cars poses a big challenge in my mind. Different type of clientele?
Absolutely. That's been another challenge of mine for the training aspect, because I've gone to seminar after seminar, training after training, read a bunch of stuff, looked at a bunch of stuff. You know, I've got some experience myself, but at the end of the day, there's training for new car dealerships, for franchises. And again, they're teaching all about this stuff. And then, you know, and I can pick parts of that, because we do a lot of what we do. We function like a franchise car dealership, you know, parts of us, without all the rules and regulations. And so, you know, it's a little more small town feel. Me and the other owner, we're both in the store every single day. But, you know, I can get bits and pieces, but then I'm still left with question marks. Well, what do we do about this? What do we do about this? And then it's the on the flip side, the same thing when I come to something like Vision. Vision's great as well. A lot of training for, you know, automotive and everything, but I would be willing to bet I'm one of, if not the only car dealer here, probably one of the very few. And so, again, as I'm sitting through these seminars and trainings and everything, again, there's bits and pieces, and there's things that I pick up out of them, some great ideas. But again, we're a little bit different than your typical independent repair shop. So then I take, you know, everything and come back and try to make a hybrid of my own stuff, of what I've bits and pieces that I've stole from other places.
So where are you getting all these great new ideas that you want to implement? Because I love what you said, stole ideas. I think it was Jack Welch who may have said there's no really any new great ideas, steal shamelessly and then implement your version of it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've heard that several times. I don't know who the original author is of that, but yeah, I mean, and that's all it is. I mean, you know, I try to constantly keep my eyes open, look at other places. And you know, when I see somebody else successful, I don't want to get jealous over it or anything. I want to, man, that's a great idea. You know, that's all. I mean, it sounds like Weavers has a phenomenal shop, you know, and there's some ideas just sitting here talking around the table that I'm going to go home and try to implement, you know.
So, you want to head over there tomorrow morning?
I actually would love to.
Let's go.
Yeah, we'll I really do.
So is that the value of coming to a conference like this?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, I think I try to always have an open mind regardless of what it's about. You know, I'll listen to anybody, whether it's one of my employees, whether it's a trainer, a franchise dealership, an independent dealership. They can be bigger than me, smaller than me. I don't care, because at the end of the day, I want to get every idea, every piece of information I can. I'll use what I like and not what I don't. And so that's kind of what has made us. I mean, I think we're definitely a hybrid dealership, from every place, from the sales side up front on the actual car sales side to the shop side about us. And I mean, everybody that's coming, I mean, Jeremy included, you know, kind of when he came in, he's like, man, I've never really seen anything like this, but I like it. It's great.
A hybrid,
you know?
Dealership. Interesting definition. Well, while we're here at Vision, we're in this beautiful studio they set up for me. Why come to Vision? What's the value for you, your company, your people?
It's absolutely amazing. I've taken it for granted for so many years. I did not know how something so special we had in our backyard here. I started here as a tech, going to some of these classes, but you know, I was actually at a Jeremy O'Neill Advisor Fix class in Seattle a while back, and we went to a little meeting afterwards, and the number one thing everybody asked me about was, what about the Vision show? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's just amazing how big it is and how good it is. I mean, there's no training like that. I mean, we can take all these aftermarket classes and everything, and my guys, you know, they pick up one or two things. But when my guys come from Vision, it's just amazing. The best is here.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And that's I had no idea. I mean, honestly, my background is sales. It's not mechanic. So this is something that I've learned since we opened a dealership. And the very first year, well, we opened in 2010, but we moved to we started a sales only, no service. And in 2013, we moved to we actually bought an old Chevy dealership building. It didn't have an existing business in it, but we took over the building and put our own business in there. And that's when we added the mechanic shop. And so that was in 2013. I missed Vision that year, and one of my techs that I hired at the time, he goes, "How come you didn't send us to Vision?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Yeah, you know what Vision is." I said, "No." So as I'm opening up Google, checking it out, oh yeah, it's in Kansas City. And so I get to research and I'm like, cool, we'll go into next year. And I come in here and all these trainers and everybody's like, oh, this is a Super Bowl of all training, of all mechanics. This is the best training in the country, blah, 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 blah. And it was cool. I mean, I could tell it was a big event, but I didn't really, I guess, buy into that it was that big of a deal in Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City is big, but I'm like, surely, Las Vegas, California, New York. I mean, there's bigger trainings out there, right? I've went to a couple trainings in Las Vegas, both for the tech side and also for dealership side. They're nothing compared to Vision. I mean, and that's when I really had the eye opener. I was like, wow, it is a big deal. It's very cool, and it's right in our backyard, which is awesome.
Are you paying for it for your people?
I pay for it 100%.
How about you?
Same thing. My goal next year is actually to shut the whole shop down Thursday, Friday. This year we weren't able to do it, but next year, I mean, that's why I'm saying, and just same thing Jason's talking of how big it is and how great it is.
So, Jeremy, there's an issue in the industry about service professionals paying for training. And getting their techs to even paying for online courses and getting to venues like Vision or the big event out east, where do you see it heading? I mean, you're close to the service professional. Do you see more of your clients paying for training or less?
Well, I think I only have one issue with one word that you're using there. That's the word paying for training. As a shop owner, you don't pay for the training. You invest in the training for your
team.
Well,
you know what? I stand corrected, and I really do mean
to say— I wasn't doing that to correct you.
I do mean to say that, but from a technician's perspective, and I'm hearing from a lot of them, they're saying, I'm asking, how are you getting to Vision? This is, well, I'm paying my own way.
Well, that's amazing. I give those guys a high five all day long, and they can get a gold star anytime at my table. For an employee to pay their own way here, I think, is absolutely amazing. Two things I want to say about Vision. The selection committee, I mean, we have to give props to Sherry Hamilton and her team with what they do. You talk about the best of the absolute best. The ASA for supporting the ASA Midwest, ASA National, just phenomenal, phenomenal event. To get your courses selected, you want to talk about running through the gauntlet. I get emails about, hey, these topics have better be fresh and ready to go because we have X number of people that want into the show. So guess what? They push the trainers, they push the teams out here to bring the best materials to Vision every single year. Now, each show has their own, positives and negatives and everything with it. But for me, it's Vision has become my New Year's, where I look at what I've accomplished in my life each year at Vision. It's very interesting to look at it that way. Last year I left here with the idea, and this is, I talked to Jason about it. I'm like, you've got a very interesting concept here. I really, really like it. I want to get a shop. So guess what I did January 2nd? A closed escrow on a shop. So be careful for what you wish for, because the dreams that happen at Vision become true.
So are you going to split yourself in half?
Oh, no, I've got a great team. One of the things that's amazed me, and I'll just share this real quick. I got to give props to my assistant, Zach. So he's been with me 60 days. And what's very interesting is as soon as he walked in the door for the interview, I knew I was going to hire him. I just knew it. And we clicked immediately. What's amazing about what he's done is when you hire the right person for the right position, you don't have to motivate. You don't have to inspire. They actually run in front of you, and you better keep up with them. And that's the building the right team. Like, Jason's technicians, I would put them up against any crew in the nation. Same thing with Jeremy. The team that both of these gentlemen have assembled are some of the top teams in the nation. And you know what's created it? Is the leadership, the culture that they've built, and the family that they've built within the shop. So, and it all starts here at Vision.
What a great summary. I think we can go on for another hour.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we're going to have to do this again somehow. You either individually come on the show or... I'm going to be at Apex doing this. Maybe we need to have round two.
Hey, That's in Vegas. Yeah.
You know, I always look for an excuse to get to Vegas. Yeah, so yeah, let's do it.
Carm wants to interview me. Okay, I guess you better go.
Yes.
Well, sorry, guys. Got a business trip I got to go on.
Absolutely.
Jason Bonner, thanks for being here. Jeremy O'Neill.
Thank you, guys.
Jeremy Winters, it was great. I learned a lot, and congratulations on such great business.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us on. It's a good time.
Jeremy, thanks for bringing the beer.
Oh, you got it.
And the guide.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, guys. High fives all around.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining us. Another powerful roundtable interview for the archives. Get the top episode takeaways on the show notes page and additional bio information on Jason Bonnert, Jeremy Winters, and Jeremy O'Neill at remarkableresults.biz/E210. Hey, isn't it great to slow down for about an hour and listen to the premier automotive aftermarket podcast? So much to learn, so many ideas and insights to consider and to implement. Hey, listen, I'm a person who links people that need and want knowledge in a way that's easy to digest in their day-to-day life. And remember, that's why you're here. Share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's a lot to go around. It's easy. Email the episode link, share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or a LinkedIn connection. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.